tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Ground. This is the place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. Hello, everyone. Hope everybody today is having a great day. Before I get started, though, I just want to say my condolences. My condolences go out to the family of the people who lost their lives in the flood that took place in Texas the other day. It is so daggone tragic. And what made me really upset is when you see officials right after this thing happened doing the blame game. You see people coming on TV talking mess. Oh, this person does this, it's this person's fault. Without any kind of investigation. Excuse me, but they're not talking about the whole real issues at hand when it comes to this tragic event. So many people right now, as of this recording is on July 10th, right? You will see this on July the 13th. So, end of this recording, so many people out there that are still missing. And I'm praying, I'm asking the great God to please help find these people that are missing. You know, so sad when I'm watching it on news and you see houses just floating on water. That's so sad to me. That's really sad. Homes, imagine how scary that is. And if people are inside those homes, how scared that they must be. You know, to me, this is a time where the community should stick together. It should not matter your party affiliation. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat. It doesn't matter if you're independent. Life are lost. And that should trump every daggone thing. Depend, you know what I'm saying? That should trump everything that's going on in the political world. You know, when I saw those little babies, some of those, oh man, it's like I wanted to cry. Eight-year-old, nine-year-old girls got, you know what I mean, died in this tragic event. You know what I mean? Older people of all ages. If that don't make you sad or feel some kind of way, to me, you're not human, man. You're not human at all. You know what I mean? So many, I'm just hoping that, you know, that these people can get really some good relief of what out there to get the best help that they deserve. They all need to get some great help. You know, again, my condolences goes to the family, right? But let's talk about a few things first before I get into this podcast. Talk about the cuts, right? Cuts to the NOAA, the National Weather Service staffing, led to over 700 job vacancies, right? Think about it, 700 job vacancies. FEMA preparedness grants were reduced, impacting local disaster response. State level defunding of public warning systems in rural Texas counties. Think about it, right? Think about the warn people of natural disasters and things that's supposed to happen, right? Was defunded. Decreased investment in floodplain mapping and early warning systems, right? Closure of rural hospitals due to Medicaid cuts, right? In the weekend emergency triage. So all those daggone things really have effect on what's going on today. You know what I mean? It's not one person to blame. If you're going to blame, put the blame game, it's not just one entity that is to blame. It's the whole system as a whole, right? The whole government system as a whole. I don't give a damn if you're Republicans. I don't give a damn if you're Democrats. I don't give a damn what you consider yourself as, right? If you're part of this, the government, the regime, you know what I mean? If you work for even for these companies, you know, understand me? All that stuff, everybody's to blame if you're going to put the dag on blame game. You understand me? Everybody's to blame. And as a leader, I know when I was in the military, and if something messed up, right? If I was in charge of something, and something messed up, even though I might not be around, I'm not going to be like, oh, this person is this person's fault. As a leader, you have to take responsibility. You know what I mean? Nobody can prevent natural disasters anyway. They can't prevent it. It's going to happen regardless. Things will happen. You understand me? Things are going to happen. But at the same time, though, you know what I mean? If you're in these type of positions, though, you're right? Not only one person to blame if you're going to put the blame game on other people. It's everybody, every single person that's in a leadership position. From the top to the bottom. You know what I mean? Not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom. If you're in a leadership position within that realm, from the government to even the regular civilians, that's in charge. It should be everybody's fault. You know what I mean? Because right now, to me, probably a lot of lives probably could have been saved if there was enough things in place. Right now, when I see those type of things happen, you know what I mean? And the government want to make these cuts, right, that could save lives. Do they really care about you as an individual? Or is it just about the bottom line? Oh, we got to save money. We got to cut money. Because when you think about these programs, you understand me, the National Weather Service, the FEMA, all those things, right? Why make drastic cuts? To me, I'm just a regular guy from the outside looking in, right? And from a leadership standpoint, instead of you just going in to slash things with a chainsaw. You understand me? Why not go in there and assess the situation? Go into each department and assess the situation. I say, oh, look, we got to make some kind of cuts. You understand me? Some people might not be happy, but we got to make some kind of cuts. You know what I mean? But you from the outside looking in, having people that actually work there in leadership position, right? In each different department, from the head leader to the second person that's in charge. You know, and everybody together around the round table, look at the money that's going out and the money that's coming in for the department and what needs to get cut. How hard that is, though. You know what I mean? The only thing about it is time consuming, right? Say you just go in there and just cut things out, and now everybody got to fend for them themselves. Like programs that's been around for years on top of years and years and years, but yet, you know what I mean? You want to cut these dang programs that can help a lot of people, help millions of people. Do you think something's wrong with that picture, people? Let me know. Because to me, it's not right, though, man. You just don't go in and just cut stuff because you can. Just because you can and you can do it, does that make it right for you to go in and just cut daggone program to try to save money? So let me ask this, right? And this goes for every single administration, not only this administration of past and administration of the future, right? Before they make all these cuts, why don't you look within your AO, area of operations, right? So let's say the White House. You know what I mean? Why don't y'all make cuts there? I guarantee some of those people you don't need. If we really look back at it, right, and then we're going to make cuts within the government, how about inside the same White House? Why don't you cut some of those jobs there? Huh? inside of the same White House. Why is taxpayers paying millions of dollars for a president to go golfing? Cut that shit out. See what I'm saying? Cut that out. If you're gonna start making cuts, why the administration is paying $45 million for a dragon parade? That's a lot of money right there. You know, that's a lot. $45 million? That's a lot of money. Why don't you put that money towards something else? So, I mean, it's too late now. I'm just saying, instead of cutting other people's jobs, I couldn't think, especially these people that have those essential jobs, right, that we need, that you know, the government of the past had had ensured these things were in place to protect people, right? To protect people. Okay, but you know, this just makes it so sad though that the government is going without really doing any strategic homework. I just cut the stuff and then look at all of what's going on. So if you're going to play the blame game, I say blame the whole dagger operation. Blame everybody. Don't blame one person because they're all part of it. Point blank. You know what I mean? Blame the Republican, blame the Democrat. I don't give a darn. Okay, it's everybody's fault. Okay. Now, let's get into today's topic of the hand, right? Topic on hand right now. The big, beautiful bill. What is it, right? The budget reconciliation combo tax cuts. Entitlement cuts, right? So, overview of stakes. Cuts to SNAP and Medicaid. Tax cuts extensions from 2017 memorandum and AI regulations. Major defense and border funding expansion. Medicaid reductions could disqualify millions from coverage. Bill adds nearly $2.8 trillion to the deficit by 2034. Now, let's talk about that, right? Cuts to all of this stuff that's going on. Cuts to your SNAP benefits. Cuts to Medicaid, young people that really need it. You know what I mean? The young people who have children that need Medicaid, all the cuts that's going on to these great programs that's been around for decades, right? Now, my thing is, right, I'm going to have to say something, though, before I go further. You know what I mean? For months, I've been upset with the Democratic Party. I really have been. Because when Joe Biden was running for president, right? I'm telling you, for the past 2 years, I've been upset with the Democratic Party. Because they never had a damn primary. That's why they lost. They never ever had a damn primary. And they let Joe Biden still run for president until they had to force the man to drop out of the dagger race, right? They had to force this man, knowing he wasn't cognitively ready to be president again. Huh? Why didn't they have a damn primary? You know what I mean? All of them should have been ashamed of themselves. Anybody that came on TV and talked nonsense about Joe Biden's acuity. You know what I mean? Acuity. They should be ashamed of themselves, right? But anyway, besides all that, I am proud of what a lot of the Democrats was doing before this bill, before Donald Trump signed this bill, the big beautiful bill, into law, right, on Friday, this past Friday, 4th, right? Before he signed the bill into law. I've seen a lot of them was coming online and talking about the big beautiful bill, talking bad about the bill, you understand me? Doing all the stuff that they can to prevent it, right? Seemed like to me they were, at least for a moment, to me, they were on the same page. if you had any kind of pre-existing condition, you know what I mean? It was hard for you to get health insurance if you didn't have it before. It was hard. But at least with ACA, it helps you with health insurance. You know what I mean? No matter what your condition is. You know what I mean? So it might not be your perfect bill, the ACA, right? But why not try to make that bill better? You know what I mean? Make it better for the American people. Because every time a bill starts out, right, from the government, it's never going to be perfect. But why not try to make it better? I'm telling you why. They don't want to make it because they don't care. That's how I feel. They do not care. All right. So, like I said, right, the common sense work requirements to reduce fraud for Medicaid and all that, right? So, also avoid looming tax cliff and extend the 2017 Trump tax cut. Now, let's talk about the 2017 Trump tax cut for a second. So, when Donald Trump was president the first time, people was like, oh, you know, I love Donald Trump, especially black folks, right? They were like, oh, I love Donald Trump because I can have more money in my pocket. Not considering the damn economy was created, the good economy that Donald Trump had in the beginning was created by Barack Obama. But now, they don't want to give him the credit at all, right? Not only that, the 2017 tax cut, even if you get a little bit more on your paycheck throughout the years, right, throughout the year. You ever look at your tax return at the beginning of the following year, once the tax cut came in advance, once the tax cut, and see, did you get back more money on it when you file, or did you get back a little bit less? Even if it's $25, $30 less money. A little bit less than you did the previous year. You know what I mean? And this tax cut do put money, more money back into the rich, right? So, when they talk about putting money to these wealthy corporations, right? And this is their mentality, right? The government mentality. You put money back into this wealthy corporation, right? And the money's supposed to trickle down to the lower workers, right? You know that would never happen. That would never happen. Because a lot of the corporations don't give a damn. They're going to make all the damn money and still underpay their staff. You understand me? You're still going to have a job where somebody's going to call in sick. And you have to do double the work, but get paid the same amount of damn money. Huh? Do you think that's fair? You're working twice as hard. You know what I mean? Let's say, for example, you're working in a nursing home. And you're supposed to get 10 patients. That's your assignment every day, 10 patients. Now, each person that worked in a nursing home, you don't say get 10 patients. Now, one person calling sick on your unit. Now they got to split that person 10 patients. If I give you five extra patients and give the other person that's on the same unit five extra patients, right? But yet, you're getting the same amount of damn money. Same thing, right? You know what I'm saying? When you call these corporations, they do not care. They don't care. But they trickle down to the regular average worker. You know what I mean? Instead of they thank their workers for doing such a great job, they just pocket the damn money. I'm talking about like the CEOs. You know what I mean? The CEOs of the damn company, the owners, all the damn people. All they're doing is just pocketing the damn money. So, this is supposed to boost the defense, right? $150 billion border security, $70 billion and energy increase, fossil fuel production, new pipeline, fast tracks. All the stuff that's in the bill, right? You know what I mean? I don't have a problem with their boosting the defense. Because what makes a nation so very great is the military. And you have to have a great military, point blank. Yeah, no matter what's going on, you have to have a strong military. That can never fail. So you have to have the bag of money. You know what I mean? Not only to pay the military personnel, but for weapons, for equipment, for all that stuff that they need. I know I was in the military army for 20 years, and you know how much sucks that when I have equipment that barely work. And I'm thinking to myself, imagine if I have to go to war and take this damn raggedy piece of crap equipment with me. I'd be shit out of luck. You know what I mean? I've been there, man. You understand that? So this is some serious time. It's very serious right now. It really is. You know what I mean? And then talk about AI regulation, moratorium, pray for encouraging business innovation, right? Now, think about it, right? Rural hospital stabilization fund. $25 billion seen as lifeline by some GOP reps. $25 billion, right? These are rural hospitals. That's going on, right? And be watching the news. Some of these rural hospitals, anyway, that was really on the verge of closing in some of these small towns. Some of them have to start closing them shop. A lot of people are going to be losing their jobs, the doctors, the nurses. But yeah, we're talking about those. But how about people like the cooks, the housekeepers? You understand me? That's going to lose the jobs too. And in those small towns, it's going to be hard to find jobs. And imagine if like some of those people that work in those hospitals, right, that doing the housekeeping jobs, that doing the food service job, that do not have a car, but they live close enough to the hospital where they can walk to work or maybe catch a bus or something. You know what I mean? Now, they got to find another job maybe way out of their way. Or imagine that person losing the job, that person that's supposed to be losing the job in a small town, have a car that's raggedy, that's not reliable. You know what I mean? Now, they might live 10 minutes, 15 minute drive from the daggone, from the workplace. Now they got to try to find a job that's 30 minutes away, 45 minutes away, and that's risking it. Trust me, I've been there, I've done that. I've had cars in my past, in my younger days, where I'm driving 30 minutes to work, sometimes 45 minutes, depending on the snow or how bad the weather is that day, right? I'm driving and I'm scared my car's gonna break down, but I gotta go to work, you know? And when I get off work, you know what I'm saying? I'm praying every day, praying God, please Lord, let my car start today. Please, it's freezing outside. You know what I mean? It's 10 o'clock at night, I'm getting off work. Then I got to be back here at 6 in the morning. Please let my car start. Those type of issues I had back in the day. See what I'm saying? So everything had consequences. All that they're going to trickle down effect that's going on, man. You know what I mean? These people lose their jobs. And, you know, sometimes some of these jobs are hard to find. Cars come by. Even probably working at a McDonald's job right now. Especially in the summertime. Because which is good. A lot of teenagers are taking those positions, which I think is a wonderful thing. You know what I mean? It's hard to find some of these jobs now. For real. Right? So now, right, we got the GOP challenges, right? So when they're passing the bill, that was passage, 51 to 50, with VP, with Vice President J.D. Vance was the tiebreaker. Damn. Think about it. J.D. Vance was the tiebreaker, right? Defection from Susan Collins, Ron Paul, and Tom Tillis, right? So let's talk about Tom Tillis for a second. I don't know this man, but I think he's weak as fuck. Excuse my language. I think it's very weak. I'm going to tell you why. When Donald Trump said, look, if you don't vote for this damn thing, I'm going to primary you, but I'm going to primary you. That's what Donald Trump said. And then what he did? He said, you know what, though? I'm not running for re-election. I'm not running for re-election. And then, once he did that, then he want to come on the Senate floor and start talking tough about the damn bill. Like the regular Americans don't see right through this guy. You know what I mean? Why couldn't you talk tough before you say you're not going to run for re-election, huh? We don't buy that nonsense. I know I don't. Okay, so Senator Lisa Murkowski, she criticized the bill. to me, that's a like a hypocrite. To me, that's a hypocritical to me. You're gonna criticize something, right? Then you're gonna vote for it. But I will say this though about her, with despite of what you think. I mean, she fought for relief for her own state of Alaska to receive energy and Medicaid carve-out services, right? Before she voted for this damn bill. She fought for it. She fought for her damn people. Despite of what people might think. You know, I mean, people might say they disappointed her. You know what I mean? She should think about the whole American people, right? But you know what, though? When looking back at it, I'm not really mad at her. I'm not mad at her at all. Because she fought for her damn people. What goes to say about the rest of the Republican Party? You know what I mean? Why they couldn't fight for their people? Are you Republicans that live in those rural areas? I'm hoping y'all see this video, right? And take a listen to what about Lisa Murkowski, right? She fought for her people to make sure that the Medicaid don't affect them. But your senators didn't fight for y'all. Huh? Let's talk about it. But yet, when it comes to for the midterm, y'all gonna still put the damn people back in office. You understand me? I like what Lisa Murkowski did, but guess what? I respect her for doing what she did. She fought for her damn people of Alaska. You know what I mean? Why she have to worry about the rest of the damn country when you have all these other senators that's there? So guess what? I'm not mad at her. Trust me, I'm not mad at this woman for doing what she did. You know what I mean? Talk to the rest of those damn senators, man, who didn't fight. That's what I said, man. When it comes to leadership, I got to be honest with you. Sometimes when it comes to leadership, women have more balls than a lot of these men. Yeah, I said it. Women have more balls than a lot of these men that's out there. To me, a lot of them are weak leaders, and they should not be in power. You know what I mean? They're going to try to belittle you. You understand me? Trying to belittle you because they think you're weak. But when it comes to actual fighting, people that that's supposed to be tougher than them, they get scared. You understand me? You have nutsack, man. That's what I feel. I'm mad about this situation. I'm very upset. That's why I'm talking like this right now. You know what I mean? When it comes to the politicians. So AOC said, despite what you think about AOC, she said, I'm going to fight and fight. I don't give a damn if I lose my damn seat. I'm going to freaking fight for you. Basically, I'm just paraphrasing, right? That's what she said. Every single politician should be doing that, fighting for you. Make sure that you have the thing that you need within your area, within your community. That's what I think. Okay, so some GOP senators voiced deficit concerns, right? Like Josh Hawley, but voted yes to preserve unity, just like I was saying, right? I said this earlier on top of the show, how the damn Republicans, they always unite together, all stick together, right? No matter how much it hurts, there are people that voted for them. They're going to stick together. You see what I'm saying? They're going to really stick together. Wow. That's crazy to me. How these people do things. Right? They're going to stick together. No, so it is, though, a little bit of internal division, right? The fiscal conservatives, the fiscal conservatives versus MAGA populists, right? As we all know by now, Donald Trump is turning the Republican Party into his image. This is not the Republican Party of may he rest in peace, John McCain no more. It's not the Republican Party of Mitt Romney anymore. It's not the Republican Party of George Bush anymore. Or even Ronald Reagan anymore, right? It's not those type of Republican Party. You know what I mean? It's the MAGA Republican Party right now. The MAGA Party. I really believe eventually, especially if a lot of these original GOP just like actually break ranks. You know what I mean? The MAGA might start their own party. You know what I mean? But what needs to happen first is the GOP, the traditional GOP, the traditional grand old party needs to break ranks from the MAGA party. You understand me? That's the only way it's going to happen. And then the MAGA is going to change party. Just like back in the day, Mr. Dagan, the Twig Party, back in the day, before the Republican actually came to be, right? All the Dagan Party, and they broke up. Now we got two main parties, the Republican and the Democratic Party. See what I'm saying? That's what I think, right? As you know, Elon Musk, you're trying to fight Donald Trump now and try to start a third party. You know what I mean? Which I don't think is going to work. The damn man needs to just be a business man and leave politics alone. Damn it. That's what I feel. Make your damn money. Get out of damn politics, man. Piss me off. You know what I mean? So critics accuse the GOP of betraying small government ideology. Right? When we talk about, think about the GOP and the Republican Party, right? When we think about them, at one point, this party was all about small government. They don't want government in your damn business. So what's going on? Why are they in such much people business these days? Huh? Come on, man. That's what it pissed me off. Now, let's talk about the damn Democrat perspective. Let's talk about them. Okay, so SNAP Medicaid cuts will leave 10 to 12 million Americans uninsured. Think about it. 10 to 12 million Americans uninsured. Man, let me tell you something, right? I previously worked for a mental health hospital, right? And my job was to go around to different like ERs, clinics, just to market our hospital. So if a patient needs mental health help, right, they come to us. Okay. But we don't take straight Medicaid. We don't. Or Medicare. We don't take straight. It has to be some kind of managed, right? But going around a lot of these rural areas, small towns, and when I talk to a lot of these nurses, because our hospital, you know what I mean, is very nice, right? You have to have like some good actual insurance to come to the hospital, I'll pay all the cash. I'll pay cash. A lot of people can't afford cash. Can't afford to pay, right? So they rely on insurance. And I would believe if you have health insurance, right, some kind of health insurance, and you have mental health issues, you should go seek help and get help. Okay? Please. Okay? You like the insurance, right? You know what I mean? If you feel sick right now, you can go to the ER and get patched up. Why not use the same insurance to get help when it comes to your mental? Okay, but back to what I was talking about, right? When I talk to a lot of these nurses, a lot of people already do not have insurance. You know what I mean? So now they gotta go to, some of them have to go to the state-run facility, right? And let's be honest with you, man. Some of these state-run facilities need a lot of help. If you wanna do some budget cuts or do some fixing government, go to some of these state-run mental health facilities that's run by the states, okay? And see how they're doing their programs in there. See how those patients are being treated. That's what the government needs to be doing, right? So now, with a lot of people right now that's off, that do not have health insurance right now, right? How about 12 more million people uninsured? Low-income households could lose $700 a year in benefits. Think about it, right? Low-income households could lose $700 a year in benefits. Right? So healthcare providers are warned of overburden in the ER. So think about it, right? All these cuts. Now these hospitals have to do layoffs because they can't afford it now. And what's going to happen? A lot of these healthcare providers, oh God, they're going to be doing double the work, triple the work. See what I'm saying? Let's talk about the VA for a second, right? The VA hired these doctors to come see you, right? To come for you to come see when you go see them. And you know what they did? What they tell these doctors, right? Don't be with a patient for no more than 30 minutes. Do not be with a patient, right? When a patient comes for his routine appointment, whatever. Do not be with a patient longer than 30 minutes. That means they want to get those patients in and out. You know what I mean? So are they really getting the right treatment as they should right now? So imagine if all these cuts happen. Oh, God. All the cuts going to happen? 8,200 to 24,600 deaths will occur annually. That's projected due to healthcare losses. Think about it. Almost 25,000 deaths could happen, right, if a lot of these jobs are cut in the healthcare sector. Think about that, man. That's a lot of people dying. That could be prevented. So also to talk about, that's what the Democratic Party is talking about. The elimination of clean energy credit may cost 830,000 jobs by 2027. So clean energy, right? Those are things that try to keep the neighborhood, the air clean with all the fog and stuff like that. If you didn't know, right now, the people are trying to fight. They're trying to put up some kind of factory in Memphis, Tennessee, in the black neighborhood in Memphis, Tennessee, right? And the people there are trying to fight it because they put a factory there, you know what I mean? With all this fog, the smog, and smoke in the air. You know, that could get a lot of people sick, especially young children, sick over time. You know what I mean? They all want to put these dangerous factories in the poor neighborhood, man. All want to do this type of crap. And it's time we stand up for it. You know what I mean? When people are getting sick of these type of things. Now, expanded border enforcement view is targeting asylum seekers, not cartels, right? You all see what's going on now? Especially the daggone alligator, Alcatraz, that's in Miami, Florida. You know what I mean? Building this daggone big old tent that took them eight days to build. Cost them how many millions? I can't remember off the top of my head, but millions and millions of dollars. Huh? Y'all think that's cool? You know what I mean? So I think posture, right? The Democratic Party rallied online. A lot of trending hashtags. They're like I was saying on the top of the show, right? How past couple weeks though, I was proud of what the Democratic Party was doing. They was rallying online, right? With all the hashtags and things were going viral because of what they was doing, right? Like they was on the same page. I haven't seen it in a long time. And I think that's a good thing. You know what I mean? Because most cases, the damn GOP will be on the same damn page, right? Putting public pressure campaigns, his peak before Senate vote, but ultimately fail due to numbers, of course. Numbers. Right? The DNC aiming to weaponize bill during 2026 midterm. So, they want to weaponize the daggone bill, right? First of all, before they can even weaponize the bill, what they need to do is daggone have a damn plan. They all need to be on the same damn page. They all need to be running on the same issues, right? Run on it. And not only just running on the same issue for the midterm, don't just talk about the daggone bill. Come on now. You got to also be talking about what you're going to do to combat this stuff. What you're going to do. You know what I mean? Because the bills are out there. No, what, it's your turn. The ball might be in your court in 2026. What y'all going to do? Huh? Tell me. Right? We need to know. How you going to combat it? What you going to do for your people that's going to vote for you, Democrat Party? What you going to do for the poor neighborhood, the poor black neighborhoods, the poor white neighborhoods, the poor Hispanic neighborhoods, Asian neighborhoods, and so forth, right? What y'all gonna do for the same people that vote for y'all, huh? All the nonsense talking points. See what I'm saying? We ain't with that crap no more. What are you gonna do, huh? Okay, some of these neighborhoods where their roads are bad, y'all gonna invest in these poor neighborhoods? See what I'm saying? Some of these damn, in a lot of these Democratic cities where gentrification is happening again, like in Harlem, and people buying up big properties, you know what I mean, trying to move the poor black folk out of their neighborhood. Those are the type of things you need to be discussing. What y'all gonna do about that? Huh? The bill's already signed. So what y'all gonna do? So let's talk about it. So now, hypocrisy, right? Was it hypocrisy or strategy? So Lisa Murkowski, like I said earlier, so Murkowski denounced the bill, Medicaid energy cuts, or voted yes after Alaska's Pacific concessions, the rural health guarantee pipeline control. Critics call her a hypocrite. Supporters say she's pragmatic. Right? Two things could be two at the same time, right? She could be a hypocrite and she could be pragmatic too, right? She's a hypocrite because she voted for this daggone bill, right? Knowing she doesn't like the bill. That's hypocritical. But she could also be pragmatic because you think about her damn people, right? So both of them could be true at the same damn time. She think about the people that voted her into office. So like I said earlier, I'm not mad at her. You should be mad at other people that voted for this damn bill if you're going to be mad at people. Don't be mad at Lisa Murkowski. She's the only one person. So why are you getting mad at her for it? Huh? She's the only one daggone person. You understand me? Freaking Alaska Dems call her decision political self-preservation. Right? The Alaska Democrats, right? But yet, you're not talking about other GOP that voted for the bill too? Come on now. It's called spade is paid. I mean, I'm not happy because she did it. I hope he should have voted the other way. But for the effort, she already did it already. So what's she going to do about it now? She did it. Right? So is it better to oppose something completely or extract benefits for your constituents? What do you think? Is it better to oppose something completely or to extract benefit for constituents? So Murkowski was one of a few GOP senators to oppose the full ACA appeal in 2017, right? So in 2017, when they're trying to repeal the ACA, right? She voted against that stuff because she knew it helped her damn people. Huh? She knew the ACA helped her people, right? So she voted against it. So cut the woman from that slack. Damn it. Cut her from that slack, man. That ain't cool. So the GOP, right? They go along to get along. Murkowski negotiated, others didn't. Just like I said earlier, Murkowski negotiated, but the rest of the soft men. Murkowski's a woman. And she negotiated, right? For that, I respect her for that. But some of these soft men that's in Congress than that do what they're supposed to be doing. So I'm saying we'd rather fall to their knees. So I'm saying Tillis, Collins, Paul voted no. Most GOP senators aligned despite backlash from constituents. So think about it, right? They don't care. Right? Those GOP senators don't care about their constituents. So people, if you have any decency about your damn self, Those people that voted that voted to keep y'all down, as I look at it, how I look at it, when it comes to the midterm, you go and show them who the boss. Get rid of those damn people, right? Some of them are older than that way. Some of them past 80, 70. They need to go. So let's be real about that. They need to go. Let's put some younger candidates in charge. Come on, man. Let's do it. Maybe because they're so old, I mean, they got the energy to fight. Let's be real about it. Okay? So, and also, the GOP seen as sacrificing state needs to maintain MAGA loyalty. Huh? They don't care about you, man. I'm telling you right now, the GOP do not care about you. Let's be real about that. The GOP do not care about you all at all. They really don't. You know what I mean? Democrat amplified Project 2025 before the election. That's what they're talking about, right? Cut the social safety net aligned with blueprint. Trump aligned staffers how drafted implementation strategies, right? So the question is for the Dems, right? All this stuff is going on. Where is the serious outrage? Why aren't they tying the bill to a long-term authoritarian roadmap? Whole time, y'all were saying that Donald Trump is going to be a dictator, or he don't want to be a dictator, right? But y'all are talking about it, right? Just like I said earlier, right? They may be saving probably 25 attacks for midterm. We don't know yet. We're going to see. See what I'm saying? All that stuff, right? Y'all fear-mongering people. Fear-mongering people right now about what's going on in the Dagenville. Okay, so we'll skip to a few other things. You know what I mean? Because time is almost coming to an end, right? So work requirements are just a common sense way. So these are like some of the GOP talking point, way to reduce waste, fraud, and abuse. This is the largest middle-class tax extension in history. AI memo, moratorium projects for small business from over-regulation, right? We're extending opportunities, not handouts. You know what I mean? If that's true, I like that. Right? I'd rather get an opportunity than a damn handout. You know what I'm saying? The Democrats deepening fiscal irresponsibility by cutting taxes for the wealthy. This bill is a death sentence for the vulnerable. Over 10 million Americans will lose insurance. If we are all going to die act, how can we fund more border walls but gut rural ERs, right? So many things, right? So many dagger things that's going on, you know what I mean? Between the Democrat and Republican. And I really believe, though, that that doesn't matter your party affiliation, but if these people really care about the voters, right, they should come together. They should come together and work together to make sure the American people is doing good. I mean, trust me, it's doing good when it comes to having jobs, when it comes to make sure the kids are taken care of, all the great stuff, man. Because it's sad to me when all the things are happening. But it seems like nobody is not fighting for us. As the little people. You know what I mean? That's how I feel. You understand me? It's so sad to me, man. But before I go, there was this one rapper from the rap group called Outlawz, right? Look at them. Let me look up his dagger name. From the Outlawz, right? From the Outlaw, from the Tupac, brought out. I think his name is Noble. Okay, so I think his name was Noble. I want to say rest in peace to him. He just committed suicide a few days ago. I just want to say rest in peace to him, and my condolences goes out to his family. Okay, so with all that being said, Thank you for tuning into Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.